One of the things we want to talk about tonight is guarding your heart, because it's so easy to get wound up about things. It's so easy to get, you can get offended. And I know that we were talking about prayer on Wednesday night. Was it Jeremiah, or who was it? We were talking about that prophecy or that open vision. Jeremiah Johnson had a spirit that he had an open vision but that he was out just stirring trouble and causing division and strife among people. And
a spirit of greed
and there was all kinds of stirring confusion and everything else. How many know that God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of order? He's a God of peace. He's a God of focus and specific and vision and life and encouragement. And when we see everything is melting, and you know, the devil is not winning, guys. Okay, these are just we're kind of at the end here, and the devil's throwing a fit, and he's trying to do what he can. But God is still got his plan together. Amen.
Amen.
God is not in heaven going, "Well, I give up. I look what's going on down there." No, he's got a plan. And what's the plan? The plan is just like that Peter prophesied out of the book of Joel. Acts chapter 2, and he said, he will pour out in the end times, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. God said he was going to do it. And I believe that we're at the end here. But, you know, right now we're obviously seeing a spiritual war in America like never before. And we're also seeing the spirit of Antichrist trying to come in. Now, the world will look at it and see all these issues going on, but it's a spiritual force that's at act right here. Okay? We know that it is, and Jeremiah Johnson saw it. I've been having that same thing for months now, you know, for a long time, obviously. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, do we? So this isn't something where it's a particular party necessarily, like a Democrats or Republicans or black or white or anything. You know, it all comes down to a spiritual force that's enacted, right? That's trying to create havoc. That's trying to usher in the Antichrist. Well. And we're seeing there. So 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly," I'm reading King James because this is very specific here, "that in the later times," guys, we're in the latter times, aren't we? We're at the end here. "That some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to political parties?" No. "Giving heed to the news?" Well, yeah, no. It says giving heed to seducing spirits, right? Those are spirits that are trying to get people off. Those are spirits that are trying to get our focus off of the real thing. Okay? And what we see is smoke screens, right? We're seeing smoke screens. We're not seeing the truth, which is the spiritual realm. Guys, the spirit realm is where the reality is at, and everything is manifest on the natural realm later on. The natural, everything that's happening now is a result of the spirit realm. It's just a reaction of the spirit realm. And then it goes on, it says, giving heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. What are doctrines of devils? Anything that goes against the word of God. It goes anything against his agenda. Okay? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We're seeing people now that their consciences are seared, where, again, they have no love of God, right? They don't care about people. It's seared, which means their heart isn't sensitive anymore to the things of God, and they don't care anymore, right? We're seeing that over and over now. We're seeing that through the media. We're seeing lately the church has been persecuted. You know, the church can't get together, but then this group can get over here and do this, right? That's perverted. That's completely wrong. Worse in its spiritual warfare. Matthew 24, verse 3. I want to read some scriptures tonight, and then we're going to get into some things here. "But let your heart not be troubled," okay? We don't need to be worried about things. We don't need to get upset. We don't need to do, right? Because in the end, God is still in control. Now, everything can be going a complete mess, and it really doesn't matter, but at the end, we have the victory. That's what the end of the book says, right? We are with Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ, right? And the media and the devil and the lies on the TV are going to try to make you think everything's impossible. Every person out there is you know, going crazy and going bonkers, and that's not true. We know that Elijah, back in the days of Jezebel, he was going to God. He's like, I'm the only one out here that believes this. And God's like, no, you're not. I have thousands just like you. And that's what the devil likes to lie to you and tell you, that you're the only Christian. You're the only one that thinks this way. That's not true at all. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, and it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. This is talking about Jesus here. And I've read the scripture several times, but it's good to read again. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, we're in the middle of a bunch of these, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, this is so blatant, especially right now. It says, Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, Jesus says at the beginning, he says, don't be deceived, right? Keep your thinking focused on what is right. Don't get distracted, because the world system is all about getting you distracted. It's all about getting you off. It's all about getting you discouraged. No. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and what shall deceive many? Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, don't be bothered by this. Okay? For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Here we go. For nation shall rise against nation. Or we can say people group against people group, right? Hello? People group against people group. And kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence. We came out of pestilence, right? We came out of and earthquakes in diverse places. We've seen record number of earthquakes here in the last few years. It's just off the charts. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Here we go. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Here's where we're at right now in verse 10. And then many shall what? Many be what? Offended. Offended. And shall what? Betray one another, and shall hate one another. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. What is endure until the end? Endure until the end means that you don't have iniquity or sin in your life, and that your love abounds. Right? So what is Jesus really saying here? He's saying, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Okay? Keep yourself focused on him. Don't be offended. How many people are offended, right? How many people are out there offended because, well, God didn't do this for me. This happened. Why is this happening? You know, I thought this would happen this way, and it was happened this way. People are offended with people. You know, we always think people are offended with people. People are offended with God. They're mad at God. Why didn't this happen this way? Why did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen? Right? And what is our job? To stay focused on him, to be centered, to say, all right, Lord, I'm focused on you. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to continue to love people. Right? Because, you know, loving people is not, well, these people offended me, so I don't know. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't correct people, right? And stand up for ourselves for certain things. But it's, you know, the world's system of love, or the world's vision of love, is you don't tell me what I want to hear, right? You tell me what I want to hear and make me feel the way I want to feel. And Jesus was pretty rough on his disciples when he was here on the earth, right? He calling Peter the devil, and he's, you know, rebuking people and doing these things. And he's really rough with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious Jews. So, but he loved them, didn't he? So everything Jesus did was, why is that? Because we want the person that we're with or around to become better, to become closer to God. That is loving people. It is putting God's word first above all. And then in verse 14, here we go. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness whereunto all nations, and then shall the end come. Right? So we're seeing all of this play before us right now. Proverbs 4:23, the newly inspired version, the NIV, I'm kidding, The NIV says this, and this is where I reason. There's a few things in the NIV I like, okay? And this is one of Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, what? Guard your heart. For everything you do, what flows from it? Why is it important to guard your heart? Because that's where your position of motive comes from. Right? And it's going to depend on how you react. So whatever position you're in is going to determine often the outcome. Or, right? Read that again. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Right? So if you're upset, angry, bitter, everything you do is going to flow from that position, right? Because you're going to be coming from a position of anger, offense, everything else. You know what? If I know that God loves me, and I don't give a flip what other people think, that's what's going to flow out of me, right? I love you. God loves me. It doesn't matter what you call me, what kind of names you call me, or anything else. I know that the issues of my life are going to flow through a centered position of God loving me. So your opinion of me, even though I care about you, my opinion comes from the Word of God. My opinion comes from what Jesus says about me, not what you say about me. Correct? Now, it doesn't mean it won't hurt or sting if people say bad things about you, but what it does mean is, all right, I love them anyway, right? Because really in this life what matters, that God loves us and we're able to overcome. Because he loves us. We love him. Why? What does the word say? Because he first loved us. See, because Jesus came and he operated out of a center of love, we see here. His heart was guarded. And everything that he did flowed from a center of love. And therefore he impacted the world. John 24. I think I got the verses down here, but I think it's John. Let me look it up. I believe it's John. I don't think I have the chapter down. Sorry about that. I'll look it up here real quick for us. John 24. John 14. Sorry. John 14, 24. That's what I want. Sorry, guys. John 14, 24. John 14, 24 says, he that loves me not keeps not my sayings. Right? So if we don't care about the Lord, we're not going to really focus on anything that he says. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So Jesus obviously flows from a position of love. He flowed from a position of he's funneled the love of God through him to other people, right? His words were not his, but what the Holy Spirit spoke to him or the Father spoke to him, he released that to other people. His heart was guarded. Everything he did flowed from a heart of submission and a love for God. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, 26, but the Comforter. Everybody say the Comforter. Comforter. Which is the Holy Spirit. See, you know, too many people have such a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He loves us. He's there to help us. He's a teacher. But he is a comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Here's what I want to get to tonight. Peace I leave with you. So anytime that we know that when there's tension, anytime there's stress, anytime there's fear, it's not the Holy Ghost and it's not from God, right? Because Jesus said that he left us with peace. A firestorm can go going on all around us and we can still have peace in the midst of it, right? I mean, the playhouse is on fire and we still are going to be okay, right? We still are centered. We're still focused on Him. And then Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So Jesus has given us His peace, right? Again, no matter what's going on in life, He gives us the peace. Not as the world gives, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what is Jesus saying here? It's pretty simple. I got peace. I'm giving it to you, not like the world does. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? I know people that are just, they're terrified right now. They're upset. They're scared about things going on. And I just, it doesn't matter, right? What's the worst that can happen? Usually the worst thing that can happen, it never happens, right? You always think about it. Like, you get a bill in the mail or something, and it's late, and you're like, oh, it's going to happen. They're going to take my house. Your mind goes to a scene where, you and your family are all wearing gunny sacks, walking down an old dirt road, It's like, wait a minute here. The check's just missing the mail, and all of a sudden you're a homeless beggar at Christmas time. We've blown things way out of proportion, haven't we? That's not it at all. But our imagination gets the best of us. And what is it? We're focused on the word. Peace I leave with you. That's so powerful. Jesus says He didn't leave us problems or bills or stress or anything else. He left us with peace. And I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Everybody say that. Let not your heart be troubled. Say it again. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, your heart can be troubled with all kinds of junk, or you can be afraid. Fear is a sin, guys. Because what it means is our focus is not on the Lord and His ability, but it's on situation and our ability and what we think. It's negative faith is what it is. And then, verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you again. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So Jesus is, because the disciples are really upset at this point, right? Before He leaves, right? He's like, where are you going? Why are you going? And Jesus is sitting there saying, you should be happy that I'm leaving, right? Why? Because the Holy Ghost is coming in my stead. The Holy Spirit is coming. Why is that so exciting? Now, it's not good that Jesus died, right? That's terrible. Anybody die. But what He's saying is, I'm leaving and the Holy Spirit's coming and He's going to be with you 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's going to be with you all the time. And what does He bring with Him? Peace, comfort, joy, right? The words from heaven. But tonight what I want to focus on is Proverbs 4:23. And that is, again, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? Meditate on Scripture, but then also to know that God loves you. He hasn't forgotten about you. That's one thing. It's really easy. The devil wants a lot of people and think, well, I'm just me, and it's just awful and it's terrible, and God did not forget about you. And then, verse 27 in John chapter 14 again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but I give unto you. And again, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. And, I don't know. Adrian and I have talked, and I'm thinking, there's stuff just going on. I'm like, I would have never dreamed this weird stuff going on lately. Just stuff that's just going on. I mean, the truth is stranger than fiction a lot. The stuff that you kind of make up, the truth is just weirder sometimes than any kind of stuff you could ever make up, right? But we've got the victory. Amen? We've got the victory. So what I want to do tonight is just pray a little bit, spend a little bit of prayer. We've been praying, spending some time praying every time, every Saturday night. Spend a little bit of time in prayer. Because one of the things, it was interesting, Jeremiah Johnson, that's his name, was talking about this entity, and he was talking about how he had a scar under his right, a really deep scar underneath his right eye that wouldn't go away, and how he had said that was a result of the praying church that had caused that on this demonic presence in this open vision that he had. And so, you know, the powerful, we can change things around through prayer. Amen. I believe that the church, you know, we need to do more praying, obviously, but I believe the praying people, we have held off entities and bad things. You know, we look at the things that are happening and think that's terrible, that's awful, but how many things have we prayed out that have not happened? I believe that we'll see those things on the other side unless the Lord reveals things to us. But, you know, we're always prone to, just human nature, want to look at the negative side, you know, all the bad things that are happening. But what about all the good things that are happening? Amen? What happens in, because my Bible says that when we pray, He hears us, correct? My Bible says in 1 John, let's turn there real quick, 1 John 5:14, because for me, it's not about just rattling out prayer. For me, it is getting connected with the Holy Spirit and then also knowing when I do go to prayer, He's got my back. The Holy Spirit, the Lord has my back. When I'm praying things out, it is accomplishing something. The devil and the flesh will come along and say, you're just not happening. I'm sorry, it's not clicking. And you know, most of the time that I've seen over the years when I prayed is when I feel the most dry, that's when I know that I'm plowing through something, right? Now, again, sometimes when I'm praying, I feel great and I keep going with it, obviously. But I know when there's resistance that I'm breaking through something. Amen? And I don't always go through my feelings. But 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, guys, anything according to His will, what? He hears us. He hears us. So we know that when we go to God and we're asking things according to His will, it says that He hears us. And in verse 15, it says, and we know that He hears us whatever we ask. So again, He's reaffirming that He hears us, and we know that He hears us. We know that we, what? Have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, this scripture is often what we call the prayer of faith, which I think you can, you know, often you can use things, but meaning if you're believing for something specific. But the key that I want to get through tonight with that is anytime we go to God and we're in prayer, He hears us. You know, there's so many people they're talking about. I remember Mary Baxter, that, you know, she had gone to heaven and different things, and the Lord showed her how, you know, the angels are taking prayers up to the throne room when we pray. That, you know, people are getting those prayers up in the throne room, and the tears are being there. So in the spirit realm, we don't see things going on, but those angels, again, the prayers that we are praying, they are getting up. The Word says there in Psalms that our prayers are like a sweet-smelling savor under the throne room. Amen? So we can enter into the throne room tonight, spend some time there praying out the plan, praying for peace. Amen? Because the last thing that God wants is, you know, racial division. The last thing God wants is people to be killed. The last thing God wants is for people to be hurt, right? He wants peace. He wants people to be you know, free from fear and being manipulated by the media and being manipulated by people. Amen? 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 And that's like the biggest lie and the biggest, it's horrible to say that you're not good enough because of this or that, you know, the way you look or whatever. That's not true. That's not true. God has made everybody what? Wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every person. And I always like to say maybe even the furry people. You know, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make junk, does He? You know? And, you know, the devil's going to come along and lie to you and say you're not good enough. And no, that's not it. That's a lie. So let's just jump into prayer tonight. Let's spend some time praying. Father, we come before You tonight. We glorify the name of Jesus. Lord, tonight we worship You, Lord. We thank You, Lord God. Lord, we as a church body come together tonight to come against the demonic spirits in the name of Jesus. The spirits of division, the spirits of racism, the spirits of hate, the spirits that are the deception in the name of Jesus. We rise up and we say right now that the love of God is being shed abroad right now, that these things are going to be exposed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, the fear, the spirit of fear and the spirit of greed that is trying to come against on people and influence people. Lord, we say in the name of Jesus that it is broken, that the glory of God is being shed abroad all over the face of the earth, Lord God, that your glory would be manifest here in the earth, Lord God, all over. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, tonight, we pray down the glory. We thank you, Lord, that we are going to see the things just like there in the book of Acts, but even greater, Lord. That, Lord, we thank you that people are being saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord God, but we come against these demonic spirits, Lord God. But we worship you, Lord. And we thank you that the Spirit of God that is more powerful than any kind of demonic fear, Lord God, or any kind of propaganda that is being propped up. But the Spirit of God is powerful, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We commission angels right now, the angels that are here, the ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation, Lord God. We pray that they will go in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray in the Holy Spirit just for a little while. Lord, we thank you, Lord, there in Corinthians that we are praying out the perfect plan, Lord God, not unto men, but unto God. You know, I just keep hearing this or sensing this on the inside that, you know, it's just like in the days of Noah, that there was one righteous family, and through Noah's family, God saved the human race. Amen? And you know, well, I'm just not significant. God used one family to save the human race. Amen? God can do drastic things through all of us here tonight. Amen? In prayer. I mean, you know, why did the Lord stop by, his angels stop by, at Abraham's house before he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and let him know what was going on? Why? Because he's wanting him to plead with him because they were in covenant together to ask him to hold off the destruction and judgment that was coming on Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah was, it says, a righteous man. He wasn't even born again. What it means is he was a right standing with God at that time, right? Noah was a right standing with God. And we're right standing with God. That means we can run in, we can have confidence towards him. Just like we read when we pray, we know he hears us. That we can have confidence that because of Jesus Christ, because of our covenant, we now are able to enter into the throne room because of Christ. We cannot go into the Holy of Holies without the blood, the atonement, the price that Christ paid for his blood. Now that blood is being presented to the mercy seat. See, because the mercy seat was on the Ark of the Covenant, and that was where the two angels on the top of it, you ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, or seen pictures of it, there's the two cherubs that had their wings across that God commanded Moses to make, and it was across in between those two angels, what we call the mercy seat. That was a representation of the actual throne of God. And that blood was presented to the mercy seat there. And that was a typology of Christ. When Christ died, that blood was taken up to the throne and it was presented to God. And that's why Jesus came back. He says, I am of flesh and bone. He didn't say flesh and blood because he didn't have his blood. The Father had it. And so because of that blood, we can now go into the throne room where the Father's at, and we can pray out these plans. But I'm telling you tonight that we are powerful in the spirit realm, and we don't need again, you know, it's great to have more and more people here, but just have confidence that when you pray, that God hears you. Amen? Well, we got to get 9,000 people, and we got to get all these people, and we got to, I mean, that helps, you know, to have more people in agreement. But it says if two or more are gathered, what is it to say? He's in the midst of them. So right now, let's go in and let's have confidence that God hears us. Let's go into that throne. Lord, we come before you tonight. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray out the plan tonight, Lord. For this church, for this nation, Lord God. Lord, we pull off the blinders off of the eyes of the American people, Lord God. We expose the darkness in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we say life in this nation, Lord God. We speak life into our president. Wisdom, vision in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Holy Ghost wisdom over our Congress. Holy Ghost wisdom over our Senate, our Supreme Court, our judicial, our governor, Lord God. Godly wisdom, godly men and women going in to influence them, Lord God. Lord God, we pull back the darkness in the name of Jesus. We say that righteousness will prevail. Lord God, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, right now that you're anointing this church, Lord God, that the word will go forth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus like never before. Signs and wonders and healings in the name of Jesus. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. The casting out of demonic forces, Lord God. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, right now tonight in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of God is being manifest, that the oil of joy is coming forth, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We just speak a tidal wave of the blood of Jesus, a tidal wave over the presence of God, a tidal wave of the glory of God in the name of Jesus throughout this nation in the name of Jesus. We declare, Lord, oh, may the Holy Spirit be loosed in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
I keep hearing that all of these things that you're seeing manifest before you, that you're seeing with your eyes, has already been happening in the spirit realm.
Yes.
And you're just now seeing it all be exposed before you, manifest before you, as in the past the church has not always discerned what's going on. So it's now being shown out in public, out in front of you to see. And to take action in prayer, but absolutely, and not to fear, because this has all been going on. It's all been going on in behind the scenes.
Yes.
It's all been a secret yes. going on, but now it's being exposed.
Yes.
And so, as to bring mercy upon the church that hasn't always discerned, you see it now. So continue to go forward and pray and press in and take authority over Satan like you've never done before. Each and every day, and
yes.
Hit the ground, take the glory, and begin to pray every single day. And eyes are open, and that the greatest
and Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything before we, any prayer requests or anything you get in the spirit realm? Anything? Thank you, Jesus. Just that.
Don't say in your heart that I wished I didn't live now or I wished I didn't live in this time, because you're here just as Esther was for such a time as this. And I'm just getting just like this sense, don't let the enemy bully you down with
right.
that, but rise up.
Right.
And choose not to believe that this is a horrible time, it's a terrible time, I have to live in this time, but choose to believe that there's an amazing assignment that God has put on my life to carry out during this time.
Mm-hmm. I just kept getting intimidation and bullying. That's what I kept getting in the spirit realm too. That there's this bullying and this intimidation, this intimidating spirit that's trying to I see it at work. I mean, you see it work on people right now. They're all submitting to this garbage. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen.